are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. we pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, that you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do, hoping that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to be done, it's got to get done. It must get done. It will get done because you'll do it. No procrastination here. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in all times. I'm going to get our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson from New Orleans. Once again, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday and Wednesday, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Thursdays, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday, if it's Friday, today is Friday, it's Friday at 8 p.m. It'll be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. And then at 7 p.m., once again, it'll be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Time for an Awakening. Yeah, I'm going to get to the Inyasasim. But I'm going to take the liberty of, I'm going to go here with Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie, who will be our guest next week, Wednesday, family. Next week, Wednesday, Brother Genie will be our guest, Brother Ayo Kamathi. But tomorrow, he has African Survival in the 21st Century Tour, African Survival in the 21st Century Lecture Tour, and it's raw and unfiltered. Yes, it is. Tomorrow, Saturday, the 5th, book signing from 6 to 7, and of course after, the lecture, 7 until, at Positive Vibes, 2, 415 North Military Highway, North Fork, Virginia. Positive Vibes, 2. Cost is, of course, nothing, but please give a love offering. I'm quite sure you should understand that. If you want more information, you can contact at 757-455-4444. 757-455-5535. That's 757-455-5535. Tomorrow, 7 p.m. until the African Survival Series, the lecture tour. It's going to be at Positive Vibes 2, 415 North Military Highway, North Fork, Virginia. Also, too, my good sister, Dr. Mama Marimba. Mama Marimba will be doing a Garveyism in the Face of Trumpism. That's going to be April 20th at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, on off of I-20. Go east on I-20. Exit 74. Make a left. Now you're going north. And there it will be. So, family, check it out. It is going to happen on April 20th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And it's free. 6984th Main Street in Lithonia. For more information, you can dial 470-500-6596. Okay? All right, family. Check them out. And, you know, I know I always want to hear Mama Marimba. She is, her presentations are dynamic. I was upset at the symposium they had for Baba Asa, and Asa's family was there and everything. And Wade Nobles and a few other speakers. And Mama Marimba, she had a dynamic presentation, but because of other speakers and overruns and so forth and so on, she wasn't able to really give her speech, her presentation rather, you know, in full. So, but I'll tell you, what I got was outstanding, believe me. What I got was outstanding. The Inyasism of Daily Revolutionary Thought. April 3rd. To deculturalize American African children is, therefore, to deprive them of that which determines the way they think, feel, and behave. To deculturalize them, therefore, deprives them of what, of that which determines the way they think, the way they feel, the way they behave. Felix Bolton. We cannot afford to forget who we are and what we must do to return our truth to power. Understand, family, our truth to power. What is power? Power is not voting. Power is not money. Power is none of those things. Power is the ability to define reality. Then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. So when people exercise power, that means they have a particular reality and they impose it on you and make you feel that that definition of theirs and how it speaks to them is also yours. And that's what I'm saying. To deculturalize African children is therefore to deprive them of what determines the way they think, feel, and behave. So we cannot turn to power if we do not do it. The penalty for our descendants is too high. They must be made to remember who they are, or they will be led even further into the blinding whiteness many of us run blindly toward. It is said that it only takes two willfully ignorant generations for a people to completely lose their way. Conscious African adults must recognize, however, that regardless of how tough and invulnerable we believe ourselves to be, our children cannot be completely sheltered from an evil insanity without separating them from the call of insanity in a world where insanity rules. Western culture is consciously insidious.
Let me repeat. This culture, Western culture, is consciously insidious. It's vulgar. It's crude. It's crass. And the carriers of Western culture know that the best way to dislocate, fragment, and destroy a people is to corrupt their children. To be someone other than ourselves is to be insane. To knowingly make choices which allow our children to be driven insane is unforgivable. Therefore, African logic dictates the need for an independent, separate, protected community in which we can rear our children into African adults, or all efforts will be for naught. If you swim in the ocean of insanity, you're bound to get wet. If we are rearing our children to be true nation builders, we have no choice, family. There are chances we absolutely cannot take. Affirm, I'm returning our truth to power. The ability for us to define reality for ourselves, to shape it and fashion it in our image and in our interests. I just mentioned Mama Marimba, didn't I? Let me read this about Mama Marimba. Well, we're right here, right now. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect the Europeans have had on our ability to even think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts, so to visualize a future that is not determined by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which Europeans lead us is genocide. It's genocide. Family. Family, family, family. April 4th. Knowledge is your ability to advance humanity. Knowledge is your ability to advance humanity. Bandele Tayimba. Bandele Tayimba. We must commit time and energy to both study and action, and we must do it without question or hesitation. Sacrifice is key to the development. It always has been and always will be. Self-denial is the first step in developing self-control, which systematically and subconsciously elevates one's will to the point of being able to re-Africanize yourself. There is no progress without work. As such, these efforts should not be confused with divisive and reactionary conceptions of separation, of separatism. This is distinctive propaganda. If we cannot be African in their presence, then so be it. This is not a debate with Negroes, the consummate Europhilia, sub-integrationists, assimilationists, and amalgamationists. This is a serious discussion among African war scholars on independent nation building. If we cannot be nation building Africans, correctly educating our children, learning of ourselves for ourselves, then it is no longer a question of our complete and utter destruction. Under any circumstances, in any place with anybody else, if we cannot be wholly and uncompromisingly African, then they must go, or we must go. Regardless of where we choose to be, providing a model of correcting the African community will naturally provide an example for our communities to follow in correcting the world. European culture should not represent us in this or any universe. I know that's right. Let me say that again. European culture should not represent us in this or any other universe. The worst of humanity should not serve as the epitome and the apex of civilized culture. Are the worst of humanity. Look at the history of all our studies. History is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. the worst of humanity should not serve as the epitome and the apex of civilized culture. Affirm, I am holy and uncompromisingly African. Ashe. Affirm, I am holy and uncompromisingly African. April 5th. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, your philosophy, and it ends with what you do, your actions. Anthony Browder. Everything is related in causal cycles. One thing causes or begets the next. We operate in a universe grounded in epigenetic change. That means each state of being builds on the state of being that came before it and lays the foundation for those states of being which are to follow. It is like steps which can only be climbed one at a time. Your fundamental interpretation of reality unconditionally dictates what you know or think you know or do. The only conditional factor in this chain of cause and effect is your fundamental interpretation of reality. If your true philosophy, how you imagine truth and reality ideally, is compromised in any way whatsoever, then all the links that led to the final output, which is you, are compromised. In other words, what you believe is the meaning and essence of reality, what you conceive of as what should be yours, true vision, and therefore your life's mission determines what you think in the first place. Think well, family. Think well. Affirm, I think from an African interpretation of reality. I think of an African interpretation of reality. The Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought, always profound. On this day, 57 years ago, Dr. King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, on a balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. If you are old enough, I'm quite sure you remember where you were. I was in high school. I stayed around and played ball quite a while. Then I came home, walked home. But when I got home, my mother was crying. And she said Dr. King had been killed. I was like, wow, no. Dr. King had been shot. He had been assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, allegedly by a shooter in a broken down house across the parking lot and so forth. Rooming, I think it was, or something like that. And supposedly it was James Earl Ray who shot him and then got away. He was eventually captured. He's had a number of interviews. I think probably in fact, he had an interview with Dexter King, and Dexter King has passed. The youngest son, because the youngest child is Bernice King, Reverend Bernice King. So it's King the Third, and I think there's only two left, yeah. So Bernice King and King the Third. And so when it happened, you know, all hell broke loose across the country. Across the country. I think when we have the injustices that are so in our face. It causes us to go ahead and just tear shit up. We're deeply angered and frustrated. And to me, in all these many years, they give you a little and take back a lot. Or they say they give you something and take back everything. It's a shame. It's a damn shame. Dr. King was in Memphis. Dr. King was in Memphis because of the sanitation workers. Because of the sanitation workers. On April 3rd, 1968, Dr. King delivered what would be his last speech in Memphis, Tennessee, before his tragic death the next day, April 4th, standing in front of an upset and frustrated group of American African sanitation workers on strike at Mason's Temple. Mason's Temple, the Church of God in Christ, big church in Memphis. Another Mason temples around the country. I know they have one in Milwaukee. King delivered an inspiring speech, hoping to uplift them as they fought for better working conditions and following the death of Echo Cole and Robert Walker, two American African Memphis based sanitation workers who died while on the job, according to the Constitution Center and AMP report. So we did know this. I don't know if you knew it. Before the speech, the beloved civil rights leader led strikers in a protest march down Beale Street, Memphis, to spread their message of equality loud and far.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
The deaths of Echo Cole and Robert Walker led to a breakthrough. The journey started on a rainy February 1st in 1968 when Cole and Walker and several other sanitation workers were enduring harsh weather conditions as they made their way back to the city dump after completing their route in a predominantly white Caucasian East Memphis neighborhood, which began as a route that day. They took a tragic turn at around 4:20 p.m., as Cole and Walker's crew started the 15-minute drive back to their base, disaster struck. As the least senior members of the five-man crew, Cole and Walker had no space inside the truck's cab where the drivers and the two other workers sat. Instead, they had to ride in the back of the truck, standing inside the grimy garbage compactor to stay dry. Remember, it was a downpour. Tragically, while they were inside, electrical wires shorted out, causing the machine compactor to activate. The emergency button to stop the machine was on the outside of the truck, far out of their reach. Before they could escape, the steel compactor pulled them inside head first, and within moments, they were fatally crushed. Appalled by the breathtaking deaths of Cole and Walker, Dr. King shifted his focus from planning the Poor People's Campaign, which sought to unite poor people in marginalized communities across the nation, to advocating for the sanitation workers in Memphis. He became a vocal ally for the workers who had been failed by the city of Memphis and its mayor, Henry Loeb. American African sanitation workers in Memphis faced harsh working conditions and low wages. They had long complained about unsafe working conditions and poverty wages. According to these complaints had been made at least three times during 1963, 64, and 66, each time facing retaliation from their supervisors when they attempted to unionize or threatened to strike. Many American African sanitation workers qualified for food stamps, due to their low wages. Yet essential benefits like pensions and health insurance were not afforded or offered to them. Historian Emily Yellen, writing for MPP, reports, detailed the appalling working conditions they face. For years, workers carried garbage from backyards to their trucks using round steel tubs, which often leaked and dripped onto them throughout their routes. They were plagued by maggots, rats, and other pests. Sadly, in the case of Cole and Walker, neither man could afford the city's life insurance policy. And because they were classified as hourly employees, their families were denied workers' compensation after their deaths. The men had no insurance and no pensions. The city gave their families, back pay, 1 month's salary, and $500 burial expenses. But that was not a legal requirement. Only what then Mayor Loeb saw as a moral obligation. Dr. King supported the sanitation workers. In February of 68, February 12th, fed up with their conditions, nearly 1,200 of the city's 1,300 public works laborers went on strike, making the first day of the protest, which coincided with Lincoln's birthday. Only 34 of the city's 180 garbage trucks were operable that day. The union's demand included pay raises, overtime pay, union recognition, union dues checkoff, improved grievance procedures, and better safety, Yellen noted. Dr. King traveled to Memphis first on March 18th to support the strikers during a rally held outside Mason's Temple. At the time, he told the determined workers, you are reminding the nation that this is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. And I need not remind you that this is our plight as a people all over this country. The freedom fighters visited again in March 28th, this time leading their march down Beale Street. Many young people, included students who had left their high schools, participated in the march. However, about 20 minutes into the procession down Beale Street, tensions escalated and some of the younger marchers began breaking storefront windows and leading to tension with local police. Authorities deployed tear gas into the crowd, beating them with nightsticks and leading to over 600 over 60 injuries and one death. Months later, on April 3rd, Dr. King gave his final speech, famously known as the Mountaintop Speech, in front of over 1,500 people, filling them with hope that things would change. Eerily, King recounted how he survived a 1958 assassination attempt by a demented woman during a New York book signing. And I know you should remember that. If you don't remember that, look it up. She stabbed Dr. King. And he said, if you would have sneezed. Yeah. The question is, if I do not stop to help the sanitation workers, what will happen to them? That's the question. He told the crowd with conviction, let us rise up tonight with great readiness. Let us stand with a great determination. Let us move on these powerful days, these days of challenge, to make America what it ought to be. We have an opportunity to make America a better nation, and I want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you. He famously added, I don't know what will happen now. We got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like everybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will, and he's allowed me to go up to the mountaintop, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Dr. King, that's so cool, isn't it? King did not live to witness the fulfillment of the sanitation workers' dream of equality. He was tragically assassinated the next day, April 4th, 1968. However, his work proved powerful. 12 days later, on April 16th, the city and the union representing the striking workers reached an agreement. In a 12-1 vote, the city adopted a memorandum of understanding that officially recognized the union, and they approved dues checkoff and increased wages. Yeah, that's why he was there. That's why he was in Memphis. That's why he did what he had to do. Dr. King, the drum major for peace. And they tried desperately. They were sending him, sending Coretta letters, poison pen letters. Now, whether he, and it's been substantiated that he had some extramarital affairs out, you know, and because they wanted to exacerbate those and have, you know, Coretta maybe go off on him or whatever, they wanted him to kill himself. They wanted him to commit suicide. I tell you, these are some evil people, man. These are some evil people. And now here we are, just a few years away from 60 years since the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 60 years. Dr. King, April 4th, 1968. Bobby Kennedy, June 6th, I think it was, in Los Angeles, 1968. You know, when you look at this society, and I think problem for us is that the fact that we must understand how this society operates, what it does, what kind of society that it is. This is not a society of equality and fairness and justice. This is a society that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And in that context, African people who have been demeaned, degraded, and dehumanized from the moment they brought us here to this present day, and now you have a man in office who is I got to say that, you know, Trump, because so many previous, they try to still make it look like we had chances of being a just society. We had chances of fairness. We had chances. No, we never have. And we never will. Not in this society, not in this insanity. I'm forever family. Definitely in my last 30, 40 years or more, believing there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to make these people respect our humanity, to make them understand what they have done to us, and to have understanding that that needs to be rectified. That needs to be repaired. That needs to be reparations. But that's not going to happen. I don't count on it. I don't count on the family. Yes, of course, we should get reparations. There's no doubt about that. Crimes against humanity. There is no statute of limitations on crimes against humanity. And so we should get that. There's no doubt about it. But we won't. Not the way the situation is here. And I know in the last few years, there's been some cities and states and so forth that talked about it. Evanston, Illinois even paid some out. But that wasn't reparations. The people there, their housing was, you know, denigrated and downplayed. They were redlined. You know, their housing was devalued tremendously. And it was proven. And so they want a case. Reparations is it, to me, in my understanding, is acknowledging the harm that you've done and are willing to repair it. And that's something that they cannot do. They cannot do it. It is not in them to do it. They don't have the will to do it. And every now and then, if you are online, you see some Caucasian, you know, speaking right on the issues, you know, talking about, you know, how we were wronged, the things that happened to us. Because they know. They know. But it's just like cognitive dissonance, family. Because that's what they have. They have cognitive dissonance. They believe that they're superior. And in a damn thing that you can say or do to make them believe otherwise. Nothing. They believe that they're superior and they believe that we are inferior. Still to this day. And ain't a damn thing that we can do. I maintain we should stop trying. To hell with these people. Our efforts. I just read you 3 days of the Inyasasim. All of those 3 days basically talked about doing for ourselves, taking control of the education of our children, helping us understand that if we do not, they will be dumbed down and believing that we should strive for integration. It is very frustrating, family. But the mission of this radio program and the mission of many African-centered scholars, historians, community workers, all of them, organizational leaders and so forth, is to help our people turn around. Stop begging these crackers. Turn around and go into the direction of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Sovereignty. There are many of us who believe that we cannot be sovereign. There are many of us who believe that we cannot do anything independent of Caucasians. And some of us should be happy. Oh, some of us believe that we should be happy we're here in America. Regardless of the circumstances, how we got here. In fact, we should be thinking that we're blessed because we could be over there. But you're here. And now you're Africans of multiple hues. We're light, bright, and damn near white to blue black. We cover the spectrum. That's why when Caucasians used to say, all you guys look alike. No, All y'all look alike. All y'all. Well, what color was the guy? Pale skin. This is like every white person. No. I'm telling you. So this is a day. April 4th. A day of reflection. A day of understanding. Of how we got here. And why we're still here. I know that Dr. King, and I think a few days before his passing, he even said to Harry Belafonte, "I believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning house." This is a burning house. Many people are calling for the demise of this society. And that's possible when you look at how Donald Trump and what Donald Trump is doing. You know, if it all falls, it falls. It failed because of internally it was ugly. It was insidious, evil. And it deserved to fall. So, you know, soon, we'll see. We'll see. Soon, I'm saying. Choices must be made. And there's only one choice for us. To be African. To embrace being African. And to embrace all those brothers and sisters who have made that choice. Wherever they are. Make sure they understand it's not about being Ghanaian, Jamaican, American, African. Wherever we are, we African. Brazilian African, Colombian African, Panamanian African, Mexican African, Canadian African, German African, British African, Indian African, Chinese African. Africa is a noun. Africa is our home. Africa is our heartbeat. Africa is a noun. A noun describes a person, place, or thing. Black doesn't describe a person, place, or thing. Black is an adjective. Black is a color. We are Africans. And so many of us, you know, I saw Raven Simone just recently. Once again, she said that shit many years ago. She wasn't African. She finally said she was black. But she ain't black. You've seen Raven Simone. But you African. But she don't want... Her rationale was that we've been here for so long that we're part of what our captors created. That, and many of us believe it is, this is just as much ours as it is theirs. But when you look at it, when you see how it operates, when you see who truly benefits, how can you make that? How can you make that statement? But there are some who are doing well. Some who are doing quite well. and they're very happy in their privileged position. Yeah. We mirror the oppressor. Just like my brother Irv, I always like to say, what you call his book. What is that? In the League with the Oppressor. What is that, man? Help me out, family. Because this is right. It's the right title right here, right now. Man. But that's it. They have bamboozled us consistently. They keep making us think that we have an opportunity and a chance to be treated fairly and justly and honestly and elevate ourselves on our abilities. But we're not judged that way. That is not the way that this society wants it, because it does not want to share. That is not who they are. Yeah, it's not who they are, family. And so, our situation will not be better off. Will not help us reach a goal of independence. Reach a goal of self-determination and liberation. Reach the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of sovereignty. What is our end game? Sovereignty. How do we achieve it? Break away. Get out. Declare it for ourselves. Dr. King, the three evils. He said the three evils of this society: poverty, racism, and militarism. That's right. 700 bases around the world. See, they got money. See, America got money, right? So America comes into your country, you ain't got money. I'll give you this if you allow me to have a military base right here, and I'll help you with law and order and all, whatever. I don't know what all the things that they say when they come in, but I damn it, they've done it. Militarism. The most violent prone people on this planet. Everywhere. Poverty. In order for me as a capitalist to have all I have, there's a whole bunch of people who ain't got a damn thing. And so for me, the oligarch, to have billions, the kind of money that sees so many people is insane. And I know there are some people who are religious. Well, you know, money is evil. Let me say this. Money is an exchange mechanism that human beings develop and devise. Western society, because there are other cultures that didn't use money. There's some cultures, even presently. It's barter system. I got something, you got something, we'll trade. I have ability to do this, you need this done. I do it, we get, you know. But here, it's all about money. And you heard what I read about April 4th, 1968, when those two brothers died because the rain was so bad trying to get back to, and they had to stay in the garbage truck and that stank and that filth. And then a short happened and it crushed them. It scooped them up. A tragic death. A horrible fate.
Yes.
That. Then ultimately, the death of Dr. King, the city of Memphis decides to come to the table earnestly and negotiate. It's a sad, sad situation, family. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, you join them. Phone lines are open, of course, and you can dial 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Right on.
Everybody thinks we're on the mother. Who are they to judge us?
Mother, mother,
simply calls me where I belong.
The mother.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com
and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Yeah. On this day, 57 years ago. Yeah, three more years and we'll be having the 60th commemoration of the assassination of Dr. King. And you know, some of these events, and now that you see they have two lifetimes, two, you know, and you say, like, wow, what has happened? You know, I was a teenager then. A few years later into the 70s, I was an adult. Then in the 90s and almost the 2000s, you know, I'm grandparent. And now, almost, well, both of my grandsons are older, but they don't have children. Thank God. But, you know, your great-grandparents. And so, I mean, I know and you know, we all know, time moves on. You know, the rotation. That's why I don't know about these folks talk about some. I looked in Facebook and there was some couple posts of some supposedly serious minded people talking about the flat earth. Well, of course, my algorithm didn't go with that shit, and so I haven't seen anything since. But a number of times they'd sent some stuff on my post and on Facebook, and they had the flat earth. And they, you know, they had a few people, and to me, you have to be joking about it. I mean, if you go to the documentary Great Mirror, and I mean the word mirror is the correct word for what they call, what the Greeks call the pyramids. It's called Mir. The Great Mir, you know, K. The Great Mir K. K stands for Kemet, which they're from. The Great Mir K, 2019. They'll tell you that we understood that when Europeans thought the world was flat and that you could sail out that way and then you would fall off wherever. We determined that. And we had circumnavigated the planet long before anybody else did. When you look at that documentary, it explains how they got other pyramids, other places. What do you think there was, or mirror, other places? What do you think there was some sprinkling of intellect on high? These people did it way over here, and I'm gonna shoot something at your direction. Now you thinking the way they thought, and you're gonna do what they did? No, people came there to share. People came there to share knowledge. Yeah. I tell you, family, this is deep. Yeah. Let me catch my good brother. Brother Irv, how you doing today, my man?
Brother Paul, I'm Brother Paul. Brother Oshie, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well, man. I'm doing well.
I started watching Pyramid K 2 and I haven't finished. It's pretty long. It's
three and a half hours. Long piece. Three and a half hours.
I was sitting 3.5 hours for a baseball game at the stadium.
There you go.
And I paid to get it. I'm
hip to be tortured. I paid to get it. The this game wasn't even good. Come shit was boring. You fell asleep.
Then I spent another $75 on foolishness.
Exactly.
That's when you live in someone else's house, Robert Oshie. Yeah. You either have to follow their rules or you have to leave. And I harp on that every time I call.
Yeah.
Because Robert Oshie, that means a lot to me, man. Mm-hmm. I don't see any other solution.
I don't either, man.
And if someone can sees one, please tell me what it is. I don't see any other solution to this from my point of view, than to actually remove myself from the equation.
Yeah.
And in that way, it does a couple of things. It gets me to a place that I believe is my homeland. You can believe what you, I'm not trying to enforce what you, influence what you believe. I believe is my homeland. And then it gives these people here a chance to not see me. In other words, you take things for granted when it's always around you, but when it leaves you, you kind of miss it, or you kind of go, wait a minute, mm-hmm. let them catch that. Because like a brother comes on here sometime, and one of our callers, and he says, you wake up one day and all the black people gone, or none of the black people went to work. That would change things.
Yeah, that would devastate.
That would change things because we're psychologically dependent on each other, whether we know mm-hmm. or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look forward to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I really do. I look forward to listening to this show and hearing the life come out of your mouth, because when you speak, Baba, and you won't know this because you're too humble to realize this, but you have been in what the Christians call anointed in knowing and having a lens that you look through only because of your life experiences. Let's be clear. You didn't just wake up one day and be knowing this stuff. You've studied. You've been attentive. You've actually have sat at the feet of great historians, because you speak. Sometimes you speak about the time you went to lunch with Dr. Henry Clark. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall at that luncheon.
I tell you, that was just so deep, man. Oh, Dr. Clark, man, I tell you.
That's once in a lifetime. Yes, I mean, how many people get to do that? A private, personal mm-hmm. interaction with a man who is just once in a lifetime. You mm-hmm. know, there were mm-hmm. there are many historians, yeah. Amos Wilson, there are many of them. But when you get to actually meet one personally and have some private time with them, that's priceless, Baba Oshie. You can't buy that. And that's mm-hmm. something that changes your life, and it stays with you your entire life, you know. And I tell you, man, and that's why when I listen to people speak on this YouTube, mm-hmm. I go, wow, man, I never met these people, you know, the brother Wright, the Mentor Side brother, the Dr. Ben, all these people were on this planet at the same time I was,
yeah.
And I had no idea. I had no idea who they were, what they were doing, and they were speaking loudly. But let's be clear, our ancestors have given us a blueprint, a mm-hmm. roadmap.
Yes.
They've written, it's the same way our ancestors in Egypt did. They wrote in stone because they knew they were going to try to burn it, destroy it, mm-hmm. as they did anything that will educate black people, American Africans, into knowing who they are, where they're from, what their language is, what clothing that they wear, what things that they invent. And I'm not just talking about Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and Martin Luther King Jr.
Wow.
There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
My brother, so my point is the more we expand our knowledge and expand our mind to see different things, I believe the more that the Most High gives us clarity. He gives us clarity and things are revealed to you. Mm-hmm. And just like that pyramid K was revealed to you. You saw it,
yeah.
But you saw it through a different lens than I would, because you have a different life experience. But when something is plainly in your face, where you can understand, they're not using $35 words.
Right.
They're saying it in a language you can understand. And then you make sense of it yourself. Now, if you want to believe it, believe it. If you don't want to believe it, you can go back and believe your white Jesus. How's that working out for you? But my point is, and I'm taking a hit at these brothers who are brainwashed and not brainwashed. They've been socialized and indoctrinated into a system that if you believe as these white folks believe, they will have an easier time. But in reality, you're being used by these Caucasians, as you can see now, because right now this Caucasian is talking about taking your Medicaid and your Medicare and your Social Security, and ain't a damn thing you can do about it.
Not a damn thing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. You can talk about it. You can get on this show
We're
going to get together and do what? We're going to get together and be mad. Okay, I'll be there at 5 o'clock and we can all get mad. Because that's all you're going to do. Because when white folks, see, now that white folks is touching these Caucasians in the Appalachian Mountains, it's touching these Caucasians down in these poor areas in this country, and now all of a sudden it's a crisis. Because when white folks get a cold, black people have pneumonia.
Yeah.
Because everything touches us times 100. And they're not coming for me, Baba Oshi. Mm-hmm. They're coming for the children. Because the children are the future. Those are the ones who are going to carry this on, who are going to get us across the finish line. Because we've already won.
Right.
We're just trying to go back and get all the ones we left. Because brothers understand, people who know who they are, know who they are, and they knew it. And they feel it. When you see it, Baba Oshi, I'm telling you, when you see something that kind of makes sense, something goes off in your head and you go, wait a minute. Damn, that's kind of, I can't figure out what it is,
but
it's something about what you're saying. What is that? Is that my ancestors knocking on my door? Is that my ancestors sitting me down and making me quiet so I can hear them? So I can feel them, because that's what this is about. This is a spiritual thing, and if you got all these demonic spirits coming at you, you know, your Islam, your Christianity, your Hinduism, your all these other mysticisms and visisms, whatever, then it confuses you. But when you stop and be still and listen to your ancestors speak to you, Baba Oshi, mm-hmm. Africa is calling. It's calling for you to come home. It's calling for you to come back and be with your people. Come on, brother. Mm-hmm. It's calling. Your homeland is saying, look, man, it's time for you to come on now. I hear you talking. Mm-hmm. Now I don't want to see you walking.
Yeah.
That rhymed. Damn, I'm getting there. But my point is, we got this, Baba Oshi.
Yeah.
And I always try to leave when I get off on this air, on these airways, with a positive, optimistic message. And I'm not talking about some fantasy, because this ain't a fantasy. We can go back to Africa right now. We can do it. We want to do it the right way. We want to go there. We want to be comfortable as we possibly can be. But we also want to know that when we get there, we still have to fight. Because I'm telling you, these Caucasians are coming for the minerals, bruh. Mm-hmm. They're coming for these things they think they need and think they have to have and don't want to pay for. I heard somebody say that.
That's right. That's right, brother. Dr. Clark. Yes, sir.
Baba Oshi, let somebody else get on and express what they. But I appreciate you letting me speak, brother.
Always, man. Always. You know
come
it, my brother.
Man. Come on.
Always.
Come on,
all
man.
Right, man.
Get me to Monday.
Okay. Right, hold on. All right, Brother Irv. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. On this day, 57 years ago, Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel. And it's ironic that there are people that you see today who were conspirators. Jesse Jackson. You can name names, you know, Al Sharpton. Not him there, because Al wasn't happening at the time, you know. And we have people in our struggle, in our midst, who have collaborated. That's like the oppressed in the league with the oppressor in a shame-based alliance. I ain't lying. I try to think of that, Irv. Hey, Irv, I try to think of that. And until I visualized you, I couldn't come up with it in my mind. The oppressed in the league with the oppressor in a
shame-based alliance.
That's deep. That's a hell of a.
Because it's true.
It's true. Yes.
It's true. It hits because it's true.
Yeah.
Brother.
Us, we're in league with them.
Yes.
And it's a damn shame
yes.
that we would do things to harm ourselves individually and to harm ourselves, you know, from a family standpoint, from a community standpoint of who we are, based on these Europeans, based on these crackers, based on the oppressor. We're in the league with the oppressor, and it's ashamed.
Yes.
We should be. It is.
When you see these people with the MAGA hats on online, that's shameful.
Oh, man.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yes.
You should be ashamed of yourself when you disrespect a black woman by bringing this Becky with the good hair to the family reunion and looking at the sisters like, y'all wish y'all was like this. Y'all got the hair in your head, but you ain't got all the rest of the stuff. Huh? Mm-hmm. You're subliminally saying to the youngins, this is what you want to be. You want to be light, bright, damn near white. In fact,
right.
You want to be white.
You want to be white.
You want to be white. Come on. And
you want to be
and
white.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Baba Oshie.
You know, there's been programs at times, Brother Irv, that I've seen over the years that you know, they're geared towards us, but they still give a message of our inability, of how weak we are, and how we want to be white. Good case in point was the Jeffersons, a Jefferson episode. Mm. And of course, you know, the mixed couple who lived upstairs, Roxy Rooker, of course, she played that role in real life, you know, being married to a Caucasian.
Yeah.
That's Lenny Kravitz's mother. She was married to a Caucasian in real life, you know. But the daughter who was dating Lionel, the Jefferson's son, but they had a son too. And he would come on the episode every now and then. He was a wisecracking Caucasian who always, you know, pitted wits with him and George Jefferson. But there was that one episode where she was upset, you know, his sister, she was upset. And the final thing that grabbed me was, she said, why couldn't it have been me? Why couldn't it have been me who looked white? So I couldn't have to go through this life with this dark skin and this nappy hair looking like our mama, as opposed to you looking like our daddy. Why couldn't it have been me? I would pay tons of dough to find that particular episode, but I never forgot
it.
It was in the 70s, the early 70s.
I'll find it.
You know.
They're all online. Just got to know where to look. I'll find it. But that's deep, brother, because what they were sending was subliminal messages.
Yeah.
To the young people, because see, Baba Oshie, everything Caucasians do in this country is done through humor. If you notice, you slow walked into your homosexual mindset. Mm-hmm. You slow walked into your what is it when you your forced assimilation mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You slow walked into it. They don't come up one day and say, y'all, this is what we're gonna do. Because I just saw a movie the other day where the black people were sitting up in the balcony and all the white people were sitting down low.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that was, they didn't think that anything was wrong with that because that's where we were supposed to sit.
Right.
But then they slow walk you into believing that you have the illusion of inclusion because I can sit beside a white person, then I'm equal to that white person. Because I go to a school with a Caucasian, then I'm equal to that Caucasian. But you ain't in the boardroom. Yeah. You ain't in the finances. You know, you're not in where the decisions are being made. You're not there, but you at the party. You at the club. You're at the concert.
You know,
but you're never, ever where the...
See, you have a place. You have a place in their society, in their world, and it's not at their table, and it's not with them. And you need to recognize your place, boy. You know.
Look at Trump's cabinet. Look at Trump's cabinet. Look at Biden's cabinet. It was no different.
Yeah.
He had black people. He had black people in his cabinet. Excuse me. But those black people did not identify with Africa. Those black people never said the word Africa.
No, well, you know, you got to understand, there's a lot. I just mentioned Raymond Simone. And
My God.
I reckon that.
My God.
Raymond Simone.
I think I sent that to you, her speaking about how she was not African. She was American.
Right.
And then she drilled down on it to tell you why.
Right.
And she made absolutely no sense at all.
Right.
What she was saying. She absolutely was connected to nothing.
Well, the bottom line is her thing was, we've been here for so long. So damn what? You know, but we've been here for so long that we're, you know, we've, whatever umbilical cord that we had tied to our mother, Africa, has been severed as far as she's concerned. And now we are the oppressed in the league with the oppressor. In a
shame-based alliance. That's a T-shirt, brother. That is a T-shirt.
It is, man.
That's a billboard.
Yeah.
That's a billboard.
But that's the deal. Let me catch some other callers, man.
I'm listening.
Right on, Irv. Man, I appreciate that, brother. Love him. Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Bubba Oshie. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Oh, man, thank you for picking my call. You don't have a specific topic at all today.
No, well, no, well, today was Dr. King's assassination, you know, 57 years ago. And in fact, I venture to say it'll be the same feeling and way things happen 3 more years from now when it's the 60th date of his assassination. So, but yeah, so we were talking about that. I gave some history on that. I gave the fact that these two workers who got killed because they were riding inside the garbage truck on a very hard, rainy day, you know, they were crushed. And that accelerated the situation for Dr. King, because he was in the Poor People's Campaign, if you can remember. He was organizing the Poor People's Campaign. They were going to camp out on the mall with all kinds of tents and everything like that. And, and of course,
I'm familiar with that. Definitely familiar with that.
Yeah.
But you know, I have to chime in because I had just gotten out of a conversation. You know, of course, today is one of those days of multitasking. But I had to infuse myself within the programming today. Will you ever have anyone to talk about health disparities, how that surfaced, where that all came from, how we got to where we are with regards to these disparities between blacks and whites in the health industry?
Sure.
And will you ever have a conversation on that? Because I'd really like to find out who, what are the thoughts of other black men? You know, right now we're talking, I'm talking to people I was talking with regards to the prostate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so some brothers knew their numbers, others didn't, right? And so we have this kind of flow. It was just 5 of us, but it was just this flow of what it is that we should know versus shouldn't know. Should we care about it? Why are we going to stress ourselves out about it? And one of the brothers started bringing in these national statistics and things. I'm like, oh God, no, please don't do that. But other than that,
once again, though, Brother Lusk, it just, you know, comes to the reality of us being in a society, how detrimental it is for us. You know, how we have been treated, how we, you know, some of the things that we have gravitated to, which we should not, because it is not us, it is not our culture, you know, and things have been bad for us. There's a lot of diseases, a lot of health malfunctions that are more acute and more profound in us than in the general society. So, I mean, that's just a fact. You know?
Yes.
And the fact that we don't have a lot of healthcare providers that we can trust and that really will look after our best interests. It has been known as a fact that American African people become better in their health situation when they have American African doctors. You know? You know?
And that was. Yeah, that was brought up too, because one of the brothers mentioned about the fact that he did mention the Tuskegee experiment right here in the state of Alabama, not far from here in Montgomery and Tuskegee.
Yeah.
And so one of the other brothers brought up the fact that, wait a minute, hold up. Wasn't that at a black institution?
Yeah.
Wasn't that
Tuskegee, Alabama. Yes.
Therefore, then, didn't those medical doctors or professionals or nurse? Hello.
Yeah, that sister. The sister did. She did, and it's been documented that she knew what she was doing. You know.
And so I guess it also leads to the fact that how within that industry, talking about the medical industry, that we dog ourselves, we dog each other out with this, even though we know the kind and type of information that's pertinent to the situation. But that's just me. I don't want to get too overly excited and take up the time. But that's my contribution for today. And hopefully, maybe one day you will have.
Yes, we will. We'll have a program on health. In fact, we tried to have a little program on mental health with Muhammad last Friday, in fact.
That's right.
And we'll come up with something. We'll talk about the overall health of us in this society. You know, we can definitely talk about the mental health because it is truly making us insane. You know.
Yeah.
So we can definitely do that, because one of the things, you know, the overall health of us as a people is very, very important, you know, and it deals with our environment, where we live, what we ingest, what we eat, you know, all of these things are serious factors that why we behave the way that we behave and do the things that we do, you know. So, yeah, we'll definitely do that, Brother Ted Lusk.
Well, no very doubt. Good. Thank you. And one of my, I guess, my interests is with regards to the prostate and all the issues of prostate cancer and et cetera. But be that as it may, again, as always, I'm listening. I'm learning. Thank you so very much.
All the time, dear brother.
For picking my call. And until next time.
All right, brother. Peace to you. Have a great weekend, man. Enjoy the weekend.
Okay, you too,
brother. All right. See you on Monday, hopefully. All right, brother. Peace.
All right. Peace.
Baba Oshie.
Yeah.
Can I just add really quickly before you go to your next caller that the brother's absolutely right in what he's saying, but in the health issue, in the health issue, we're going to experience some of the same issues so far as prostate, cancer and things as the oppressor, because we are in the same environment. We eat the same foods, we breathe the same air. And so we're going to experience the same health issues, basically, that the oppressor does. But we also have to understand that what the oppressor doesn't do that we do is we live a double consciousness, which was coined by Marcus Garvey. We live in two worlds simultaneously.
Yes.
All of us do, from being a child. You know, like if I'd known that I was coming for a job interview, I would have put on my white voice and wore my white people's clothing. See, and why do we have to do that? Why do we have to change our voice to go for a job interview? Because we are taught to get a job and not create a job.
Right.
See, and that's what we have to teach our children. Work till you can create your own. Don't work until you die. That's what we did in slavery. They worked until we died. But as we put in our children's minds to be owners, to build your own business, you may not see it, but your children will benefit from what you built.
Right.
The Vanderbilts ain't seeing all this wealth they got. They had wealth, but this wealth that they have now is amazing. The Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers and all
The Vanderbilts, their wealth diminished because they didn't do some of the things that they could have did that the Rockefellers did to have generational wealth. Because name is part of the Vanderbilt family on CNN.
The white boy.
Yeah,
The gay boy.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you're going to live in this capitalism, we as American Africans, are anything we do, we become the best at. Football, baseball, business, anything we put our mind to, we become the best at. And that's why they want our young children to try to be basketball players and not jump into this hedge fund market, because we will take it over. Anything that an American African does, they take over, because it's in us. It's in us to do that. I'm so serious.
Well,
man.
See, whatever we apply ourselves to, I never forget Naeem Akbar made a presentation. I was adamant about it. We apply ourselves to, we become very good at. We exceed. So we applied ourselves to athletics, and we dominated. But if we applied ourselves to physics and other forms of education, if not hindered, if not obstructed, we'd excel. You know? Mm-hmm. So if the Caucasian left us alone and we had the opportunities unfeathered, unchallenged, and so forth, we'll excel. It's who we are.
But we you're correct, and we have to understand that we have to control what we can control. But you can't control the Caucasian if you don't know we're in a fight. If you, and that's why the Caucasian so easily slows the American African down, because you believe that because he smiled at you and he didn't call you the N-word, that he's your friend. Oh, right. Yeah, he's your friend. It's me and you till it's me or you. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Caucasian wants it to be, because the Caucasian looks for a fight everywhere the Caucasian goes, because he's trying to take something.
Yes.
So he teaches his people to whatever you do. The guy was so nice. He'll be so easy to conquer. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
John Henry Clark. So my point is, we just have to realize as a people that we're in a fight. No matter how bright it looks, how good it looks, how friendly they talk, how soft they talk to you, you know, we're still in a fight. These white people are not giving up. They don't give a damn. They're thinking of their children, their legacy. And we're thinking about today. They're thinking about 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. This Trump thing didn't start yesterday. It started 20 years ago with the Federalist Society. Mm-hmm. Come on now. And it was right out in the open. You could have saw it. I saw it. I don't have a bunch of degrees. So my point is, we are in a fight. We will always be in a fight with these people, because we're in their house. And as long as you living with under someone else's roof, you will do what they say, or they'll make you do it. Mm-hmm. And a man who builds his own house always will have somewhere to live. So we have to build our own house.
That's right.
And we're doing that now. Long live Burkina Faso. Come on now.
Right on, man.
That's a shining light.
That's the hell it is. It really is. No, Irv, you're sincere. Light. It really is. Proving what can be done, what we can do. And you got all the other countries coming in line. So to me, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time, brother.
It's not a time. That's right. Mm-hmm. They're coming.
They're coming.
Let somebody else talk about what we're doing.
Jay, what's up? How you doing, my man?
Yo, what's happening, OEO?
Not much, bro. Everything is well.
Hey, man.
Yep.
Hey, everything is pretty good today, man. I'm sitting up here picking pockets and you know, getting these crumbs from this cracker who done set his stealing up, but he don't know there's some of us that have the ability to steal just like him. So you know, keep on doing what they doing.
Yeah.
This fool wanna put tariffs and all of this. All right. You know,
man,
keep on messing up your market and all of that. I'm gonna pick up. I don't know. I've already picked up like 3 stocks. I've been looking at that. The price is so nice. I had to go in and make.
Well, go ahead and play them. Go ahead.
I just got one.
Yeah.
I got one. I gotta keep on looking at.
What is the tech stock? What kind of stock is it?
Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon. You know, I'm gonna pick up some Amazon.
Those are ones that
I
you just
try and get it in the in a little bit of the lowest.
Yeah, revenue. Of course. You go in low, and when you sell, you sell high. The thing is about Amazon, though, Jay. The thing about Amazon, when you put your money in that, you got to let it lay. Yeah.
Of course.
You just let that lay.
I had took a put on Nvidia, and that's been going pretty good. So I should have did some other things, but you know, now I'm just gonna do what the white man gonna do. He gonna let it tank, and then he go and he pick it up once it tank and get to a price that he seems to feel is desirable. So he gonna play the game, I'm gonna play the game. Because I don't know why this guy thinks that we can't do this. You know, I don't know why you think that he's the only one that's supposed to be able to exploit people and take advantage of them and get rich. Mm-hmm. And everybody else get poorer while he's screwing over everybody. But I'm going to play the game with him.
All right. You know, well, good luck to you in that endeavor. Good luck to your dad endeavor,
well,
man.
We'll see how it goes.
All right, Jack.
Because I don't think things are getting better. But go ahead and take someone else, man. I'll catch up with you on Monday.
All right. Have a good weekend, Jay.
All right. My brother.
All right. Yeah. That's a tough game, man. It's a tough game, you know. And if you got money and you got patience. But it's happened too many times where people who had serious money invested wound up having to take a hit because it's a gamble. It's a gamble. And to me, Trump doing what he's doing, you are fearful in that gamble because the people who are with Trump want to make you believe that it's going to pay off big time. That the sacrifice right now, the hit that you're going to have, the amount of money you're going to lose, and so forth, you will get that back maybe twofold, tenfold, whatever. That's what they want you to believe, and that's what they say. But, of course, there are all kind of other prognosticators out there who are saying, no, this is not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen like that. And you know, I don't know. I don't deal with it. But to me, you know, to me, I don't know, man. I would like for us to be wise in whatever whatever we do. I would like for us to be wise and make the right choices. But, man, hey. Oh, yeah. So, got a few more minutes, family. Phone lines are open, 215-490-9832. You know. So you can get in on this call. Yeah. Yeah, man. Real talk. My brother, fellow firefighter, Brother Dennis, I hope he's always listening. He say he gonna call in, but the brother don't call in. But I love him anyway. Hope I'll see him at a conference or a convention. It's always good to see him. He's in the DMV, DC, Maryland, and Virginia area, the DMV. But he said this on Facebook: they killed the black family by putting the mama on Section 8 and telling her that daddy can't be in the house. They gave her food stamps and she thinks it's all good. But truth is, the daddy can't be in the home. Then gave her food. I mean, excuse me. And she thinks it's all good. But the truth is, daddy got to pay that back. So they put him on child support and taxed his check. Now you have a black man who's doing bad. And he's at war with his baby mama because he can't afford to help with the kids. And neither him or her can see it's deeper than their dislike for each other. And them fighting is only helping the agenda placed upon our people to break the black family so we can never be equal. Real talk. I like that because that's the facts. They put division because they know the most important point and most important aspect of us is family. That's why they attacked our family. That's why in many cases now, men are not in the home. And it's hard for that family to do well, it requires a man and a woman and children, family. It's the most important thing that we can do as people, family. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. What a world. So, we're going to... Oh, yeah, go ahead, Irv.
Baboshi, I don't mean to cut in, Baboshi, but I'm listening to you talk about how white, these white people have systematically taken the man out of the home years ago.
Yeah,
years ago, by design, and what did that do to the black people in this country by doing that? What's the aftermath of that? That's what we have to look at. What did that do 40 years down the road? It destroyed the black
family. That's right.
Our women tell you, I don't need no man.
Right.
It made the men say, I want all the women. And it destroyed what we had, because now there's no boundaries. There's the dresses, they come out the house, the women come out the house naked, then the men come out the house with their pants tighter than the women.
Yeah, sad,
and they
man.
Have no problem with that.
It's sad.
Come on now. It's very sad, and
we have no leadership. You know, and I'm not talking about a specific person. We don't even have a cadre of leadership. You know, the politicians truly aren't, especially ours. You know, the clergy,
right.
whatever they had back in the day during Dr. King's time, they sure in the hell don't have, there's no respect for the clergy, because the people have now seen through that bull, you know. So we have no leadership.
My leader was, I grew up with my father in the home, my father and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So my first leader was my father.
Yes.
And I watched. My father could show you better than he could tell you.
Yes.
I watched what he did. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He went to work every day. I watched him. Oh, he had some downsides that I didn't think were right. But who am I to tell my father what to do? I looked at him for leadership, and he gave me that. He didn't cuss around me. He kept grown folks up, grown folks, and he let me be a child as long as I could be. But then it came a time where I had to put childish things away, and I had to be a man.
Yep.
And he prepared me for manhood. I was prepared for manhood. When I got in the fire department, I saw all these men. I had to deal with these men.
Mm-hmm.
And I dealt with them because I was prepared for that. There's no preparation for these young men. They're getting prepared by CNN. Who's on CNN? Don Lemonade? He going to tell you how to be a man? He don't want to be a man. He wants to be a woman. Because white men hate women. Now they got another guy, Capehart. He's another black man who's married to a white man on the news.
Oh.
On MSNBC, I think it is. Oh. And now they got another one they're bringing up. All the black men on the news that you see every day have to be homosexuals? Is that what has to happen? Mm. So we're being slow walked again, Baba Oshi. We're being slow walked into some foolishness.
Yeah.
And now you got people arguing over foolishness, because all these petty differences are deflections, the diversions to keep you off of what's really happening.
That's right.
The real meeting is in the other room. We never get in that room. We want to be at the table. I don't want to be at the table. I want to own the table. I don't want to be in the UN. I want to start our own UN, the United, like the boy in Burkina Faso. They're starting their own alliance.
That's right.
They're printing their own money. They got all the damn gold.
Yeah.
We have everything we need. The Most High has given us the mind and the physical things that we need, the women to support us. We are a beautiful people.
We are, man. We really are.
Hey, you know it's not politically correct to talk about a monkey man that got a twisted sister, white boy, for his mate. You know that's not right. Come on now. Let that monkey man live. But you know something, Irv? That should tell us something. how you go from the great people that did television as anchors, Max Robertson and the others, to monkey men.
Yeah.
They don't even sound like black men. K-Part, when you listen to him, oh, you know he's a monkey man. You can't think of anything else but a monkey man. But I regress. Have a good weekend, my brother.
See, Baba Oshie, when you put something on, Dick Gregory said this. He said, if you're on TV every day, that is worth a million.
Oh, yeah.
Like Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
He's on every day. Yeah. I remember Richard Dawson was on Family Feud.
Yep.
Every day. And so I don't know this white man, but he was on every day. And that's what they do with homosexuality. We'll keep it going every day, and eventually you'll say, oh, it ain't that bad. It ain't that bad, Bible. But it's genocide. Because they're recruiters. They're not producers. You and a woman produce. Two men recruit. They can't produce.
Right.
So eventually they will be extinct eventually. It does not even make sense physically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think mm-hmm. about it.
Right.
I mean, it may emotionally make you feel good, but in practicality, you can't replenish anything with homosexuality. And that's what Bill Gates wants. Population control mm-hmm. by any means necessary.
Right.
Vaccine, homosexuality, jail, prison, and figuring out another way to kill your black ass. I'm going to leave it right there.
All right. Hey, my brother, how you doing? We only got a couple minutes, so go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon, Baba Ochin.
All right, my brother.
Good afternoon to everybody listening on this. You know, Baba Ochi, can you just confirm for me? Did the honorable, I just had a mind blank there. Our great ancestor who passed away, who got assassinated,
Dr. King.
Dr. King. Uh-huh. Didn't his family take the U.S. government to court and prove that
yes. yeah.
the U.S. government was right. integral in his assassination?
Yes. This is true.
Now, you know, that's true, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, when you really think about that, that is some real crazy stuff, man. That is absolutely out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, really out there. And I mean, is it not consistent that you're dealing with the same U.S. government from that day to this day?
Yes, we are. Yes. The same mindset has permeated this government from its inception, from the moment these crackers came here and took this country. I don't give a damn how eloquent the words may appear, but the whole thing is for them, by them, and only them.
I mean,
you know, they give the appearance.
I mean, that's somewhat.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Sorry, go.
No,
yeah,
I was.
No, sorry. You know, you're talking about Dr. Jerome Fox's book,
right?
And you quoted his the part of the title in a shame-based alliance, and that is profound because
it
strikes home.
It is very
at the reality. It strikes home at the reality of the situation, and then you've got to look. Then you've got to examine the psychosis which is going on. Because you talk about mental health in your last program, and one has to examine the type of mental health what one must be under, not to actually deal with the reality of the situation, to be dealing with a so-called government who has been confirmed that it murders its citizens for just standing up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that is a serious psychosis to be dealing with, man. You know.
Yeah.
That is so serious.
Also it strikes the fear into people because they realize what the government can and will do for standing up, challenging
Absolutely.
Them. You know. I mean, they consistently send poison pen letters to Dr. King.
trying to get him to commit suicide. We have this on you. We have that. We've seen you here. This, everything was bugged. And I mean, obviously the technology of today is far more deeper than it was back in the 60s, you know, in terms of surveillance, you know. So, but man, yeah. And when he was shot, he wasn't dead. They, he got to the hospital. He was still living. The doctor told the nurses and staff to get out. And he then put a pillow over Dr. King's head and smothered him.
Yeah. You know, I'll leave it there because we're running out of time. But the reality of it is that, you know, words fail me, but it's a serious state of affairs, and one has to recognize. And maybe that's why they are so intent on keeping people so distracted, because if you really deal with the reality of the situation we're up against, it can drive one to a sad state of mental welfare. Yeah. But Brother Ochi, thanks for keeping up the post, and thanks for keeping up the good work. We're talking.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, man. Have a blessed weekend. See you next week. All right.
You too.
I'm going, Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie, will be my guest next week, Wednesday. You have a good weekend. And for those in the Tidewater area in Norfolk, he'll be in Norfolk tomorrow. Check that out. Also, to get ready for Mama Marimba coming back to the ATL. She'll be in Lithonia at the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar on the 20th. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed day. Have a safe, good weekend. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.